tuned in, welcome. Apparently you guys liked the first one so much we were able to come back and do another SEC show, which we definitely appreciate. But I am your host, Jeremy York, of the End Zone fame. Hopefully you guys have checked out our new podcast and everything. Joined once again by the new college guy, so to say, Joe Pimm.
Good evening, everybody.
Hope everybody's doing well. And a quick shout out to the CPU Computer Repair in Dallas for making this show possible. I really appreciate that. And also AT&T Wireless for allowing my phone to be a hotspot. But also a quick shout out to something I can't remember at this moment.
Maybe I can help.
Go ahead.
No, give me something. I'll remember.
No, let's just say it's just blank at this point. But
Citgo Gas. Making this possible.
No, I think I stopped at QT earlier.
Okay, QT Gas.
And probably plan to stop there again. Cheetos are great. But as we get into remembered it. Big announcement as far as the Impact Media family and shows. We're officially on iTunes.
Oh yes, that is exciting news.
So we're now internet celebrities.
It only took one show for me to be on.
Exactly. You got it at the right time.
It's magic just, touch.
Right. You happen to be the veteran added as we made our run.
Hey, I'll take it.
But you can go to the iTunes store, and the easiest thing to search for is our Falcon Fun show, because it'll bring up all the Impact Media stuff. You can put Impact Media as well. And if you want to download individual ones, you can. I believe we have about 35 or 36 different ones on there at the moment. They're all labeled out, so you'll be able to figure out if you want SEC, if you want to hear about the Jaguars, the Falcons, if you want to hear about the league, anything like that. And if you really want to, and you really feel let us know how special you are, you can hit that little subscribe button up at the top of the app, and anytime we release a new one, it'll automatically download to your phone. It's how I listen to other people. It's how I listen to myself as well. It's, I'm not afraid to say I've downloaded my own podcast.
Well, you got to protect yourself.
Exactly, and a lot of people don't have access to this, so I downloaded it so I didn't hear it. But once again, you can find us on iTunes. I do appreciate that, and we appreciate the hospitality of the Steel Mexican restaurant tonight.
We promise to leave fuller clothes this time.
We're going to try. it's not looking good at the moment.
When we smell bleach, we'll be sure to shut it down.
Exactly, either that or we're grabbing a mop, one or the other. But, we are here to talk SEC and preview the Volunteers, but before we go into that, we can actually update the team we talked about last week.
Actually, breaking news?
Yeah, or not so breaking news, but
news high up.
Right, from very high up.
Yeah.
As quarterback Nick Marshall has decided he wants to be the highest man on the totem pole in the SEC in college sports.
Yeah, one way to go about it.
And he was busted for, was he smoking marijuana or just have it on him?
Cited. Possession of less than an ounce.
Right. So more than likely he was just holding it for somebody else.
You think he's part of a medical marijuana delivery?
He could be, because there are a lot of kids that do need this. Yeah. That's a whole different issue.
It might have been for granted.
It could have been.
We'll wait for the story.
We'll give him the benefit.
Auburn will definitely give us all the details.
Right. And
no murkiness.
Exactly. And what kind of punishment did Malzahn hand out so far?
Nothing. His punishment was he did not have to go to SEC Media Day. He did not have to go to Boaz, or where is it? Boaz? Hoover.
Hoover.
He did not have to go to Hoover with his punishment.
Hoover, I hear that place sucks.
Well, it's no Boaz.
Exactly. Exactly. It's no Galveston, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It sounds like nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Auburn.
He may miss. I think he'll miss that preseason game or something like that. But
which one? The one against Arkansas?
Whichever warm up they decide to play, possibly even the first week. But I doubt it because Malzahn does know he's in the highest in the race. He's going to be in. I don't know that he's going to win it. This is not going to hurt him at any point. But except for the fact that he would miss out on talking to the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on the media row. As we give a plug to and a shout out to Chuck.
King CSB.
Exactly, at King CSB if you want to follow him.
I think he's got a dessert at Dan Tanner's now too.
Wow, we're gonna have to go and eat some Dan Tanner's. I have yet to eat there. I've been trying to make it there for a long time.
I've heard it's nice. Although anything grilled I'll go for. Exactly. I think they're grilled, but
pretty much if it's edible I'll try.
Yeah, that's about me as well.
But besides missing out on talking to the King, to me, he actually gets rewarded because he doesn't have to get paraded in front of the media, doesn't have to make all these comments. If anything, they're sheltering this so that their PR guy can tell him what to say.
Right. Yeah, he needs to be coached up. I forget who said that. I think it might have been Buck yesterday.
Probably so.
Saying, and then Kincaid was like, well, coached up for what? If you're innocent, yeah. What do you need to be coached up for?
Exactly.
Well, so
once again, that's why I like Kincaid, though. Always asking the hard-hitting questions, and that's another reason we like Buck as well, because he thinks of the cool questions.
Yeah. You know, they're pros. Maybe we'll be following them up from maybe not the 3-6 show, but the 6-9
right.
show.
You know, Ballou being the former SEC guy and then got some hardware to prove it. Played with that one.
Lindsey Scott.
What was it? Wally? Wallace?
No, it was the kicker. Kevin Butler.
Right. A tight end or something. He was real fast.
He was gone before Goldberg came.
You know, I think he may have done some MMA recently. I can't think. If you guys think of it, you guys, by all means.
I'm drawing a blank.
You guys, by all means. Walker doesn't sound right. Maybe it was.
No, Wally does.
Yeah, I think it's Wallace or something.
Wally does.
He played with that guy. I'm sure he coached him up pretty well and, carried that team on his back.
He completed a couple passes.
He did. Quite a few, actually. Maybe not as many as David Green, but,
his release is probably a little quicker. No offense, Dave.
I think it was.
You know.
As we give him a shout-out to two-thirds of the media roster of another media outlet around here.
but in
all fairness.
Nothing's going to happen to him.
No.
He's going to run some bleachers.
Right.
Sit out a quarter.
I'm sure he already has. I'm sure he's had to pick up some dry cleaning or something. Maybe had to work twice as hard today.
Well, I hate to say that Malzahn has a history of this because his history is so short. But look at when he came in, when he left high school and he came to be OC at Auburn. Who did he coach?
Exactly.
Big Cam Newton.
Yep.
I know he wasn't the head coach, so it wasn't much he could say, but he had experience with cricketers.
Well, and it's the different standards at different places. You know, we can say all day how many times the UGA Bulldogs have released somebody from their program only to be picked up by Louisville, by Auburn,
Florida.
By South Carolina.
Cam Newton went to Florida.
Exactly. Well, did he go?
Cam Newton came from Florida. Sorry.
He came from Florida.
Get all my criminals mixed up. Pardon me.
Yeah, oddly enough, he was third on the depth chart behind that number 15 guy.
What was his name? Warfel?
It wasn't Chris Lee. It was the other guy. The big, he's on the SEC
he's
Network.
Somewhere.
And he was, I'd try not to mention him two shows in a row. So.
Almost.
I pulled that one back. That's hand fishing in Hawaii there.
Hey, noodling.
Exactly. But, nothing's going to happen to him, and it's the difference of the types of programs they run where, in one place it's a violation, in the other place they're not that worried about it because you didn't do it there, you did it the other place.
Right, and from what I've heard, the backup is no slouch.
Sure.
And Johnson, I know Malzahn said he could start for two-thirds of the program. He's supposed to say that. But I believe he'd be able to navigate Arkansas from his state, which two-game max is what Marshall would get. It's not going to happen.
No.
That's what he's getting.
Right.
So,
like I said, I think he'll sit out a preseason or he'll sit out a quarter, a la, Manziel from a couple years ago or last year or whatever. He'll sit out 5 minutes. It won't matter whoever he sits out against.
Yeah.
And he'll be right back in the Heisman race. Although, I don't know, I think there's some other guys that could give him a run on that, and we talked about that earlier. But, let's jump into these volunteers.
Yes. Someone's got to do it, right?
Exactly. And I wish I had some cool Rocky Top queued up, but...
No, that's one good way to get me to walk off. We can wait for Rocky Top.
We're talking like Dan Patrick walk off, or we're talking just walk off and you're not coming back?
I'll be back next week when we go on somebody else.
Exactly.
I just wait on Rocky Top. I hope I hear that minimum time. Until they play Florida, then pump
right.
it away. Because they got Florida home, right?
I believe so.
Which is to their advantage, only a few advantages they may have as far as the scheduling is set up.
Right.
Because, you could just start with that. If you just want to go based off the paper, doesn't look good.
No. And they only had, 5 wins last year? They were 5-7 overall.
One of them was against South Carolina.
2-6 in the SEC, which is atrocious.
Yeah, like I said, one of them was against a 2-loss South Carolina team.
It's true.
It's kind of an anomaly.
It's a feather in their cap for sure that they were able to pull off that game. But, like I said before we come on, I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to say mean, it's,
that one stands out to me.
It's a 4 or 5 win team with a max of 6.
They didn't need to schedule that Oklahoma game. I don't know who it benefits. Now, I know it's cool they've never played in the regular season. So that's some kind of historical marker that, you know, who knows. Maybe that'll be one of the feathers they can stick in their hat this year.
Right.
But I don't think that game needs to be scheduled because that. And then you got Utah State at home to start with, and they won 9 games.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was only, on their current schedule, there was only Kentucky and Florida who had losing records last year that they played. And Kentucky will probably be in a similar boat. They'll win 2, 3, 4 games this year. Probably, I mean, they could do better. But, you know, Florida, even if they turned around, is a good season season.
Oh, yeah, that's Florida, that's another show. But
right.
They got a long way to go. And I don't see it turning around just because one quarterback's going to not have his leg broken this year.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, they've had some, you know, speaking of the offense, we'll just jump right into the offense.
109th in passing last year.
Which is, I mean, I feel like we could have done better than that.
12th in the SEC.
Out of 14 teams?
Yeah. 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. That's collectively. I know that they had their starter went out, what, week 10 of the league?
I believe so.
So, I know they had somebody a little wet behind the ears coming in to fill in, but nonetheless, you're in the SEC. You got to do better.
Well, and it really comes down to two guys and what dates you because why it's the two guys, because it was actually three up until a recent article was brought to mind.
Oh, yeah.
Online.
You were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. You know, they got Worley, Justin Worley, who's the senior, who should pretty much get it by default, not because he's a senior, but because he's the most tenured guy as far as he's got the most experience. Josh Dobbs, the sophomore, is actually pretty good, but, you know, the third guy on the list is Riley Ferguson, who, you know, honestly, and it's not just because I'm reading it off the page here, he honestly had the best arm, the better techniques, the better overall package, but, I mean, for some reason, he's going to Charlotte now. He's transferred.
Right, and for someone, you know, a team that's 94th in scoring offense, they're going to go with what they had last year.
Right.
Which, okay, maybe they improved 15 spots.
Yeah.
That still puts them at 79. The bottom half. And that's pretty bad when the halfway point is, what do they got, 120-something teams?
Something like that.
124, 123, we were looking at it last week.
Yeah.
So you're still below the halfway point. And if halfway is 60, you still don't want to be the 60th. I mean, I know I'm just stating the obvious here, but it just seems obvious to me that guy saw the writing on the wall. He knew that he had the arm, and he knew he could make a difference. And he wasn't going to get a chance despite that fact. So he said, I'm going to go.
I mean, I don't blame him. There's been a lot of guys that
get
transferred over and to be given opportunities. I mean, Cam Newton's one of the biggest. I mean, he realized he's second or third on that depth chart, that the other two guys are going to be juniors that year, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
but didn't he get dismissed from Florida?
He did for an incident where he stole from a teammate, or he was supposedly
stole a laptop.
Yeah, supposedly.
Well, he was holding it.
Yeah, whatever it was. But,
under his shirt.
He was, I don't think he ever got dismissed. I think he was on some sort of suspension probation system and decided to leave because it just, you know, the writing on the wall said, you're not going to go anywhere here.
And, well, and the $250,000 didn't hurt.
Right, of course.
For the church.
Yeah, yeah. And they now have the best baptism kit you've ever seen.
Beautiful.
It's just immaculate.
Look on my Twitter page. I got pictures of it.
And that's at
2 E's. E-F. Ahab. I know, odd name. It's from my youth. Kind of stuck with me.
I thought it was kind of cool anyway. And, you know, it's going to hit me at the Impact 99. Something I made up a handful of years ago, but it kind of stuck.
Well, yeah, lots of good information there.
Yeah.
I find myself looking on there at midnight, seeing all kinds of info I didn't even know about. And I thought I kept up with it. So.
Exactly. Just when you think you're on top of the mountain, turns out you're under it.
That's right.
But, you know,
okay,
they've got some good stuff going for them. I mean,
44th in rushing in the country.
I mean, they're not bad running.
But they lost the number one running back.
They did.
Who's gone?
And who they got coming behind it? Well, I mean, the guy that averaged 5.3, 5.5, something like that the last couple of years. Not bad. But he's also been the backup. So he's either getting garbage yards or he's getting, you know, he's getting second down yards or something.
Or both.
Yep.
They moved a wide receiver, Devin Young. Moved the running back from wide receiver.
Yep.
Which...
Well, in college, it's kind of interchangeable a lot of times anyway. Even on video games, they allow you to do that, flipping around.
Sure, but you don't recruit on video games.
Actually, you can on some of them, but I'm not getting a plug to them because they're no longer going to make the video games.
I'm sorry. I haven't turned on a video game system quite some time. But what I'm saying is, if you're, as an SEC school with limited scholarships,
right.
If you're going to recruit a wide receiver, you must be a pretty good wide receiver.
Right.
Not like, oh, this guy could be a running back.
Well, but, you know, a lot of times they do recruit him as athletes, and they plug him in places. So this,
right.
This could be an athlete that they did where he didn't really have a designation. Maybe he played five positions on his
school
team.
Well, you know, you think about locally, J.J. Green has been moving safety. But
right.
He was when he was in high school, he was also defensive back. He was, I wouldn't say upper echelon, five-star, because he came in as a running back. But feel comfortable, and he might even start.
Right.
But that's another week. But I'm just that's kind of a,
right.
A hometown tie into what we were talking about.
Marlon Lane was the one I was talking about that's going to kind of step in here, even though they got Jalen Hurd, the freshman, behind him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, from the early things and just spring day, whatever you know, if you feel that spring day is amazingly awesome, it's so controlled it's hard for me to take it seriously, but at the same time there are some good things that happen.
Yeah, it's so vanilla.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And with them 3-4, it'll be they don't want to show their hand, which I don't know if they have much of a hand to show.
Well,
we'll get to that when we move to defense.
For the 68,000 plus that showed up for their pro day, which is almost 70% of Neyland Stadium.
Right.
It's one of those stadiums that's worth, you know, checking out if you have a chance to go to it.
Well, they got a JUCO receiver, Vaughn Pearson.
Yeah.
I think he might even won California Junior College Player of the Year. Maybe
well,
came
tough.
In second. Had 93 catches, 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns.
That's more than the Jacksonville Jaguar franchise.
That is as many touchdowns as the entire team had last year for Tennessee.
Even better.
So that's one guy they brought
it
in.
It gives him an option. I mean, I don't know where he's shaking out on the depth chart right now as far as, I mean, because it's still early.
Yeah,
but
he's a quote-unquote player to watch.
Right.
Which is kind of a blanket term because they're all players to watch because we're watching them.
Exactly.
You know, there's not. They don't have a player to look away from.
Right. Yeah.
Change
yeah.
the channel when
yeah.
this guy comes in.
Whatever you do, don't watch this.
Yeah, they don't have one of those lists. So, you know, he might be an upgrade. You know, you got Marquez Moore, who was their top guy last year.
And he's, I mean, if you ever see me play, I was able to see a handful of their games last year, or at least parts of their games. And, I mean, for what it's worth, North is very much a big target.
Yeah, and he, came close to breaking Kelly Washington's freshman reception record. Now, I think he was like maybe 12 receptions, maybe 15 away. But he was still in the neighborhood
right.
and on a poor, let's call him a poor offensive team, a ranked 100th in passing.
Right. It's not like you know, Aaron Murray or A.J. McCarron were throwing to this guy last year.
Right. And it's not like he played, you know, for Texas Tech
right.
back when old, what's his face was there, the old pirate level, Leach.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 5 wide on 3rd and 1, where
yeah.
they were crossing around. You know, well,
right.
38 catches is
yeah.
really nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it's not University of Hawaii football.
Right. So he earned it, you know, when he was pretty much their only go-to guy. So
right.
He was facing some stiff coverage. So he did some, from what I hear, from what I read, I know I say that a lot, kind of a good transition. They're upgraded at wide receiver.
Right.
Compared to the core they had last year.
Right. But, you know, the, well, to me, there's, you could either say two or three elephants in the room. Apparently, this is a very small room, and these elephants don't have a lot of space. But the in the spring practice game, the offense practically ran the table on the defense. It was really bad. It was almost like the defense wasn't even there.
Right.
So as bad as that defense is, you also have to look at the elephant I'm going to bring up now, the fact that they are returning no starters on the offensive line and none from the defensive line.
Right.
This is a completely new unit on both sides in two of the most important places.
Well, the most, if you ask me, that's what separates the SEC from everybody else.
Right.
All right, because you know, you look at Oregon, they have the skill players coming out of here.
Right.
The USC skill players. Even, you know, as I said, Ohio State has some decent skill players.
Right.
But
right.
when you get inside, you get the tackles on in, that's where the difference comes in.
Exactly.
Speed and the style.
Well, that run game we're talking about, you know, it's hard to run the ball if these guys aren't even playing next to each other, don't know how so it's going to be hard to get a pass rush going or even to put pressure on an opposing quarterback if, once again, these guys have never played together.
Right. And, you know, you couple that with the new, maybe not a new running back, not the leading rusher.
Right.
And then you got a quarterback by default. So who knows if anyone even pays attention to that wide receiver core that's been upgraded.
It's true. And
they might just stay single covered.
And they have, I mean, one of the better ones. I'd say they're probably top five in the SEC.
Oh, certainly.
They're clearly not Georgia or anybody like that. But, you know, Butch Jones is actually doing a good job of kind of turning this thing around, even though this is only his second year. But, you know, we both agreed that I'm not sure he's going to be around next year.
Well, yeah, but you don't, you know, a battleship, you don't actually make a hard left turn.
Right.
You got to swim it wide. And I think he's doing what he can.
Right. Oh, he's doing a good job.
You can't capsize everything and blow it up.
He's doing a good job just for the simple fact of what little bit he had to work with.
Right.
But, and, you know, he's making the most of it.
I mean, he's trying to install that the spread option, and Tennessee's never been built for that.
No.
And
not even
it takes
20 years ago when that guy was there.
Which one was the one that everybody looks like?
Yeah, Opie Taylor, son of a legend.
They should have never fired him.
Plays for the horsey team now.
That guy. I thought you were talking about the coach.
No. Well, there's that guy too.
I was going to say, as a Georgia fan, I'm glad they fired that coach.
No, that was actually a good decision. But no.
Oh, you think so?
They needed to fire him. They needed to do something different.
But look at what there's something different in.
This wasn't necessarily the difference.
You chop your hand off. That's something different.
Yeah, something different. Right. May not necessarily, you know, put you in the right direction.
Right.
But it's different.
Yeah. Like I said, as a Georgia fan,
right.
I know I'll say that probably five times per podcast, but I was glad to see him go because it hurt their recruiting and it hurt their overall philosophy. You know, now they're trying to trick people.
Are you talking about Lane Kiffin?
No.
I'd say Lane at Tennessee was actually kind of entertaining.
No, I'm talking about Phil Fulmer, man.
Oh, okay.
That guy was
especially when I said son of a legend, I was like, are you really thinking about Kiffin now? Lane, we love you, buddy. And when we get to Alabama, I'd love to have you on because I feel like you're going to give us the best.
Saban ain't letting him talk to anybody. Come on. Yeah, he already let old Kirby.
I was trying to appeal to him here.
Kirby Smart got out of the dang cage and he talked to somebody, and I'm sure he's kicking himself for letting him do that.
Oh, he's probably back in the cage.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
But, you know, yeah, this defense is, I mean, they've got
five returning starters.
Right, most of them in the secondary.
Yeah, and on a defense that only forced one turnover, well, not one turnover, sorry. They were plus one turnover margin at the end of the year, and that's, you know, when it comes to football, I think of the three phases. And then kind of phase 3B to me is turnovers.
Yeah.
And that can really make a huge difference. Like when the Saints won the Super Bowl, I know we're jumping leagues. Pretty sure they led the league in turnovers that year.
They did. I believe so. If not, they were in the top two.
And scoring defense. Like, not ready. The opponents were scoring, but scoring on defense.
Right.
They would get the ball and they'd take it to the house. If you look at the Saints now, they're not much different than when they won the Super Bowl.
Right. They kept the basic philosophy in
place. But that year, they were scooping and scoring, stripping. So, with Tennessee only having five starters returning on defense, maybe they got someone who's really been stripping all their life. Maybe they have a honey badger laying in the waist. Because before that game against West Virginia, I never heard of the Honey Badger.
It's true.
What was that, Auburn? I mean, Oregon.
May have been Oregon.
You know, when he stripped the guy
right.
on the punt return. And
when he turned into the Honey Badger.
Yes, yeah. That was when it started.
It's like all of a sudden, you know, mask comes off and it's like, oh, there's Honey
Badger. He's got blonde hair.
Yeah. Who's this guy?
Yeah. I think that's where teams with deficiencies, they can kind of hide a lot of their flaws with creating these turnovers, but with all the experience they had last year, they were plus one.
Well, and they were, which, you know, still once again better than the two teams we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
But it's still not that much better. And looking at the linebacker core. Kurt Maggett, who missed last year with the ACL.
Unfortunate name, but I hear he's a hell of a player.
I mean, they say between him and A.J. Johnson,
they're top three, top four.
Then,
top.
You know, as far as a linebacker duo, they can rival almost anybody in the SEC, let alone the national scale.
Yeah, their linebacker core is top notch. I mean, it's, like I said, top three in the conference.
And you know,
which
can't
is
forget,
a shame.
Can't forget Jalen Reeves-Maven, who's kind of sneaking in here. As long as he can stay healthy, he's kind of snuck in as the. I guess he's if the other two are Moore and Larry, this is clearly Curly in the Three Stooges here, and not in a comical way. These guys are, I guess, more like the Three Amigos.
Yeah, but there again, you mentioned one of their key players in the defensive backfield. They moved him to defensive line,
yeah.
Defensive end.
Yeah.
Which goes back to Young. They're switching him from wide receiver to running back. Looks like they're trying to move all these pieces around. Try to make it fit on the fly.
Right.
You really need to start recruiting people for those positions. Leave people where they are. You're not going to improve if say that was one of the returning starters. You can't count him as a returning starter anymore.
True.
Because he's learning a new position.
Right.
And I don't care if he played defensive line in high school. It's a lot different
yeah.
to go from playing defensive back in the SEC against all these, you know, likely NFL players.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they play Alabama every year. They play Georgia every year. They play Florida every year. Those guys don't have any slouches on
no.
at wide receiver.
No, not at all.
And now he's going to go up against the guys who aren't slouches on the offensive line. Or have to, you know, get chipped by a fullback. And there's really no simulation for that.
No.
And it just seems like they're trying. Don't get me wrong. But
they're not there yet.
There's a reason why they're 4-20 against the SEC in the past 3 years.
Yeah. And it's not coaching.
No.
I'm not going to hang this on the coach.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet, but Butch Jones, he came into a bad spot.
And he's, like you said, he's making the most of it, but, I mean, it's still a very big uphill climb.
I don't think he's a dumb person. I think he knows what's going on.
Well, and as we get into recruiting, I mean, the biggest ones that stuck out were I don't know if they're twins or not. I haven't been able to find a good picture of them. But the Berry brothers, Evan and Elliot, who are out of Fairburn, Georgia, Creekside High School. Shout out to all the people in Fairburn, Georgia. It's a nice area.
Yeah, at the athlete position, too, which
right.
Who knows what that is.
That means, but if you look at how they're built.
Well, I know we know what that is.
Right.
I'm just saying, it seems
around,
like they're doing the same.
Well, it's like they're leaving their options open. They can either be linebackers, or they can be defensive backs, or they're going to put them as, you know, they could put them as running backs or wide receivers.
Right, but that just goes back to what I was saying before.
Yeah, what is your recruiting for?
Yeah, what are they going to be?
Yeah.
You can't redshirt them and then start them for a year at running back, and then somebody gets hurt, like, oh no, we need to put this guy in safety. Because you just wasted 3 of his years, because he's got to relearn the position.
When actually, Evan was recruited as the athlete. Elliot was actually recruited as a outside linebacker, I believe. Which kind of breaks him up a little bit, but, you know, at 6'2" 206 and at 5'11" 196 for Evan, I'm looking at the Barber brothers backfield.
Yeah.
But one's not a running back. I think they're both safeties or cornerbacks at this point.
Right.
And, you know, we got some feelers out to see if they're related to Eric Berry, who was from Georgia.
And, you know, that's my fault. I'm not really up on Tennessee until it's time for me to research them.
Right. Well,
or I would know who
we just,
mommy and where they went to church and all that.
Yeah, the thought just struck us, you know, as we were coming on to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they're related to Eric Berry because it's odd that they have the same initials, same last name. They're both from Georgia, went to the same college, you know.
You know, Creekside, they have a decent football down there.
Right.
I mean, it's not Val Falcon, but it's not Tuckett. But, you know, they play a good brand of football. So, they, you know, their level of competition might be above most to begin with. But I'm kind of just speculating to begin with. But I'm not a Tennessee recruiting guru.
No.
I'll be the first to admit it, second one to say it.
I'll be honest, I'm not really a guru on anybody. But it's because we cover so much, it's hard to focus on one.
Well, yeah. But, you know, around here, you hear whatever about the hometown
right.
team,
right.
whether you like to or not.
Right. I mean, there's a handful of guys out of nearby Carrollton and places like that who've known to go to bigger teams. And,
yeah.
And, you know, wish the best for those guys. And shout out to all those people there as well. But, you know, as we you look at it, you know, they seem to do pretty decent. They didn't have any five-star recruits. I think he had a good number of fours and threes.
Which, I think the team is built on fours and threes.
Yeah.
I'm not really...
Which is fine, because I'm not always the biggest fan of the fives, because I don't always agree.
Right.
Just because you did it in high school doesn't mean anything.
Well, you know, a lot of these recruiting sources, you got to pay to get in it. You know, you pay $100, we'll put your name on this list.
Right.
Pay $1,000, you'll get an extra star.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows how all that works?
Right. We don't know, you know, the expertise of these guys that make these lists or what the criteria is anyway.
Right. But, you know, if Tennessee's looking at you, there's a reason why.
Right.
They're still a quality program. They haven't fallen that far.
No,
they're still a destination school.
You know, that's what, you know, like I was saying, is you want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they are Tennessee. They're a very storied franchise, or I guess not franchise as much as program, and they're always kind of in the mix. They're always, you know, you always hear their name mentioned, especially around this area.
Right.
But they're just kind of in a rough spot right now that they're trying to get out of.
Well, even if they're not competing for a championship, they usually beat somebody who is. So they're playing somebody who is right there with it. So they're in the spot. They are a destination program.
Right. And, you know, we talked about the spring game. And maybe it'll, you know, shed a little bit of light on the quarterback situation. Josh Dobbs actually did the best quarterback statistically.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Once again, spring game, clearly bad defense.
Well, they're switching.
Right.
3-4 to 4-3.
So it's, you know, no returning starters on the defensive line. You know, different things can happen. Justin Worley actually, it's not that he was a slouch, but Dobbs had a little bit bigger day.
Yes.
It just could have been a matchup. It could have been anything. Maybe he had one receiver over the other. Maybe it works better. Yeah. It'd be all kinds of stuff.
But nonetheless, they practiced against it.
They did.
They know what, they've seen the plays, they've heard the audibles.
Right.
And they still got smoked by a team that I said before, 94th in scoring, 100th in passing.
Well, and, you know,
Riley kind of scares me. Because as you were about to say.
Yeah, Riley Ferguson as the, used to be third guy on the depth chart before he went to Charlotte. Now, a lot of people would say, well, he saw his opportunity to move, and so he did. But, you know, he was 7 of 12 for 83 yards, but he had an interception, and he lost a fumble, and he got sacked 3 times. He may have saw the writing on the wall that this line can't protect anybody, or he may have looked and said, I don't fit this scheme.
Right. Or who knows, he might have been in there with a third-string line.
He could have.
He said, heck, if I'm in play, usually if I'm in, these guys are in.
Yeah.
And I'd like to walk when I'm 35.
Right.
So maybe I should go somewhere else where I'm not going to have, you know, Alabama. Because I bet you the Alabama third string will probably start for Tennessee. That's bad for Tennessee that their top opponent from the West is Alabama.
Yeah.
And now that all the conference alignment and everything is gone, that's still their top opponent. That was, you know, that was kind of their chance to escape that.
Right.
And they didn't. Now, I know Georgia stuck with Auburn. Not really up on who else's constant opponents that remain the same or who's changed. But
right.
I bet you Tennessee fans aren't too happy that Alabama remained their top. They probably could have went to Mississippi State or
Ole Miss. You know, maybe.
Ole Miss is back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Wallace and that cannon. No, he's accurate. That's right.
He's the actor. He's the
the most accurate.
He's the sniper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll call him the sniper, Bo Wallace the sniper.
Yes.
And it's just odd because his name reminds me of one of the lead guys from the Draft Day movie. But once again, you have to see that. And I think it comes out in
September. I plan on watching it.
Or, you know.
Well, like you were talking about Ferguson, there's some, from what I've read, Jones is not going to name the starting QB until week one anyway.
Right. So he's looking like, I had the worst day of the four because Nathan Peterman had an okay day as the fourth guy on the list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's looking and going, man, I was odd man out on that. I was fourth of four.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I need to try my shot somewhere.
Yeah. And he's not going to name it to week one. That's just not really.
I think he's going to have it in mind, and he may even mention it to the team maybe, because that would be an awful way to start the season, not knowing who's going to steer the ship.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in all likelihood, it's going to be Worley, unless something crazy happens.
Never know. He might go on a joy ride with old Marshall.
It's
call
true.
A little bit of that getting high on your own supply thing. You know, one of
franchise is really going to contribute this year. Tig Howard, which is one of my favorite names. Leave of absence.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means.
I tried to look into it. I didn't know if it was like family related, if it was just, you know, like they do in the NFL, just I'm trying to get my stuff straight. Or I don't know. I just, for some reason, he had to be left and he hasn't come back.
Yeah, and then, you know, spread options not working. You're moving guys from wide receiver to running back. You don't know who your quarterback is. Who could be the guy who could be the starter? 55% completion rate. Doesn't sound good.
No.
And I'm speaking objectively. They have players to watch. They have talent. They have talent. The problem is the talent is away from the trenches.
Right.
And that's going to be the big issue. Like, those linebackers are not going to be able to do anything if no one on the D-line keeps them clean.
No.
Every time they got a center in their face, they're not going to be able to make plays on the run.
Exactly. And, you know, they lost a linebacker and a running back to transfer, which just happens to everybody, but that's part of what's made that whole shuffle happen is they needed more depth somewhere else.
Yes.
Had to start taking some other places.
Yes. You know, that might have contributed to Young moving from wide receiver to DB, to running back, because they felt very comfortable
right.
at wide receiver and approached him about that. But I'm sorry, wide receivers, they don't practice covering the ball up.
No.
So we spent this summer doing that and learning blocking schemes. And the first time he's going to do it, I know he's doing it live in practice.
Yeah.
But when he does it live against his first game of the year, and especially when they travel to Norman, it's not going to be pretty.
No. But, I mean, on the upswing, they've had the nation's leading numbers for early enroll, I guess. They had 14 players enroll at the midterm, which gets them in early.
Yes.
Go ahead and start getting into classes, kind of get your feet under you, so that when we start playing the fall, it's nothing new here.
Right.
This is actually the third time in 4 years that Butch Jones has he been there 5 years already? No, this is only his second year here, but this is, like, the third
okay.
time in the 4 years.
I was
going to
say, wow, where does the time went? Okay,
no.
I see what you're saying.
No, but, yeah, he typically recruits well. He recruits high, and he typically has a lot of his guys come in early to go on and get everything started.
But you got to have results.
Right.
I know his previous school, they showed the results, and that's why he is where he is now.
Right.
But they're not going to keep you long in Tennessee. They ain't going to put up with it for 4 years.
Not in the SEC.
Oh, it's too much money, and with this TV deal.
It's like the Big Ten. There's a few big things you got to do in the SEC, and if you don't do those things, you're gone.
Yeah. And with the TV deal hitting, if they start getting, you know, some of the games start getting pushed off the SEC network,
right.
What can you do? Because, you know, sell out 106,000 six games a year, that may pay some of the bills. It don't pay all the bills.
No. I mean, some of these kids are going to need new tractors.
Yeah, well, yes, that's
and,
true.
Or, you know.
Dentist work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm being mean. I'm just anti-Tennessee.
We're just nitpicking, because there's all kinds of violations all the time. Every team is pretty much guilty, and I'm not calling every team out. I'm just saying it just depends on who gets caught.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, as far as violations, I haven't heard shit about Tennessee. Pardon my pun.
Not
violating anything.
Not in a couple of years.
Maybe they need to give it a shot.
Maybe they're not getting enough gritty players.
Oh, where did I hear that term?
The one Mike Smith in Atlanta likes to use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need more criminals.
Yeah. More, yeah. It's something like that. And you're just like, I don't think you're quite grasping. Maybe you need to look in the Theosaurus for a little bit different word there. I don't quite think. In fact, in the new age we're in now, Theosaurus.com, I think, would actually help you out just as much as looking at that
yeah.
book. But the thing to me that is gonna hurt the team the most is the Butch Jones said his self-proclaimed MVP. The one he said was Michael Pilardi.
That's the kind of. It dovetails what we touched on last week.
Right, because this kid not only kicked all the field goals.
Yep, that's one scholarship.
He did all the punting.
Two scholarships.
He did all the kickoffs, which usually goes to one of those two, sometimes a third guy in
yes.
college. And he also saved a lot more touchdowns in some of the kickoff return tackles he made.
Yeah, so
you're losing 2.5 to 3 guys right there that you're now having to replace. And where they got George Bullock is going to start doing the place kicking, and a senior walk-on, Derek Brodus.
senior
walk-on
yeah.
is going to start kicking. It's like at some point they went
Scott
team.
Bakula, they pulled him out of the quantum physics class.
Yeah. No joke. He finished up with his all of his soccer stuff. And like, hey, you can kick pretty well. You like kick punts? Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
why not? It's like, hey, we'll give you a scholarship for it.
It's just like them scrambling again. It just seems like they're scrambling to fill these positions. I don't know. I know that there a lot of these are well-paid coaches. And a lot goes into the recruiting. A lot goes into the planning.
And like we said, he's doing the best with what he has. He took over a failing program. And not that they were going out, but they were on the downswing. And he's having to, you know, he had to get worse before he's getting better.
That's right. And, you know, was Vandy outplaying him in the same state for the past three, maybe four seasons? At least three seasons. I know they only lost by four to Vandy last year.
Just lost off.
Yeah, Georgia beat by Vandy too.
Yeah.
But it's been a trend lately. Vandy has been out Tennessee.
Right.
So, you know, they lost James Franklin. I don't know what you could call that a loss, because he took that program as high as he could take it.
Right.
So you gotta go to Penn State, but you just can't continually lose out to Vandy. I don't know if they were getting out recruited, but Vandy had some good players. I'm sure Stacy was recruited by Tennessee.
Yeah, he probably was.
But chose Vandy. I'm sure Bennett was recruited.
I'm sure.
I know that's taking it back a little bit further.
Right.
Well, you know, it seems to be a trend. No, Cutler all those years ago.
Yeah.
Why would you choose Vandy?
Exactly.
Over Tennessee. Much like me, you can't wear orange. It's like cross the vampire or garlic, whatever burns the vampire skin, the sunlight, all kinds of things harm vampires, except for guns and knives.
Yeah. Unless they're silver.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it just depends on your school of thought on vampires, I guess, and how to harm them. That's pretty much the most major one.
Oh, there are different rules for different vampires, too.
Right.
I've heard that lately.
Right. It depends on if you're watching Twilight, if you're watching Vampire Diaries,
and
if you're watching True Blood.
I heard this from a vampire that was actually interviewed. Like a vampire at the mall. Trying to dispel all these vampire rumors. But I digress. We have went from Jay Cutler to vampires.
Apparently,
no relation.
Apparently, I don't need to go to the mall with you. You go to some weird mall.
No, I heard an interview. I didn't do the interview.
I thought you were at the mall and you actually saw this guy. And I was like,
no.
I don't need to go to this mall.
No, I don't go to the mall to begin with.
But
I don't believe in it. I mean, I know it exists.
Yeah.
I just don't like the whole setup.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it seems a little primal to me. Where the food court is in the middle, and then you got all, you know, ladies, dudes, spending money on nothing, because it's all worthless.
Yeah.
I can get pants and shoes without going into that big establishment.
It's like a one-stop shop, I think, is the way they kind of do it. It's like, we have all these stores.
One-stop shop.
Yeah.
You can't get Nikes there.
No, they don't care.
I would not.
No, they don't care.
Well, I'm like your head, but I mean, there's security there. It's cool. I'm getting off on vampires and mall security, but
It's not like people are running to get that job. I mean, in all fairness, it's not like there's a long line to be a mall security.
Well,
guy.
No, it's not their fault. It's the people who run the mall.
Right.
It's the whole the layout of it. You walk in and it's just.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they need the TSA at the door.
Thank God they don't do that.
Well, they will.
Yeah, I know.
Soon enough. But, you know, I keep getting off on these because there's really, we're going to beat a dead horse with Tennessee.
Yep. And, quickly we'll go into it then. You know, they're 5-7 last year. What do you have this year?
5-7 actually sounds good for this year. Because that means they've won one of the coin flip games.
Yeah. Because we had them at four possible wins with two coin flips.
We got Florida's a coin flip, which is just hilarious to look at their record.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
And you can learn a lot of stuff, and, you know, we'll get into that. We'll get into that next week as we cover the Gators. But, you know, it still is what it is. At the end of the day, in the record book, that's their record.
Isn't that what Parcells said?
I think so.
You are what you are. You are what your record is.
If not, I'm sure Denny Green or somebody had a better play.
No, they were who they thought they were.
Yeah.
I remember that one. But no, Parcells, he would say, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
We might be the best offense in the country.
But if you're 2-10, then you're not that good.
Yeah, I mean, you got to cover all three phases, and, you know, they're hit hard in all three phases.
You know, and I don't want Tennessee fans to, you know, I mean, if you want to blow up our email, @3endzone@gmail.com is our Twitter handle. It's part of the @3endzone@gmail.com if you want to send us some. Facebook and Twitter are on as well. But, you know, for the sake of possibly getting things thrown at us when we go in front of Tennessee fans, I got them at 4-8. I got them one game worse than last year, and I'm just going to credit it to the ridiculously awful schedule they have.
What? That's fair. And see, what you say, fans can throw stuff at us, whatnot, blow up the email.
Right.
That means they're not being objective.
You can't live in Tennessee.
They're not being objective.
It's fun to go there sometimes, but you can't live there.
See, I'm diehard for the hometown team. I'm very objective when it comes to my expectations.
Right.
I'm actually probably a pessimist. I'm probably a lot less objective than I should be. So you just got to face it.
Right.
4-8, as it sounds,
it's realistic.
It's almost a success.
Yeah.
It means you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And you lost the teams you're supposed to lose to.
I mean, and who knows?
6-6 is as high as they go. Fifth in the East, 6-6.
And that's
top of the Heat.
And that's not saying that there's not an upset or two sitting there.
Oh, they should have beat Georgia.
The opportunity's there. I mean, who knows? Maybe they knock off Utah State in the opening round, in the opening game. Maybe they beat Vandy at Vandy at the end of the year. Who knows? Do I think they will? Probably not. But
they beat the Bulldogs last year.
Yeah.
And for what? For some haphazard fumble, that game's over.
True.
And that was just, I don't know. That just kind of goes to show. I mean, he might have been a wide receiver switched to running back. I don't know. It's kind of a weird way to fumble with no one touching him.
It's true.
So they're just trying to fit too many square pegs in the round holes, and they're shuffling, scrambling. 6-6 is as high as they get. Playing Shreveport. That's a good season for them.
Yeah.
I won't call them back if they get 6-6, but they're well on the way.
Yeah, so, you know, and if you agree with us, or if you think we missed something, or want us to reevaluate, even Auburn fans as well, or you think differently, or you just want to tell us how wrong we are.
Do it.
You know,
that's what this is about.
Yeah. This show is as much about you guys as it is about us, and that's not our cliche answer. It's, we don't do this just for our own benefit. We do this, you know, to give you guys a place and a chance to speak. And, you know, on future shows, we'll have the opportunity where you guys can call in. And
yeah.
If you got questions, or you just want to tell us how wrong we were, that's fine. Or,
yeah, don't yell at your radio. Tweet us.
You want to know where to send the fruit basket? We'll give you that information.
Yes, I do like fruit.
I do. And there's many edible arrangement places around here that will probably deliver.
You're wasting them.
I don't know. Have you ever eaten one of them? They're really good.
Yeah, they're very good, but the clock is ticking when you're on the ride. If I buy a mango, I can take my time with that mango.
Right.
But if it comes sliced up and stuck on a skewer, the clock is ticking. You know, you got flies, you got heat. You know, I mean.
Well, but it tastes better than chocolate.
Yeah.
But once
don't
again,
get me started with chocolate. I'll get chocolate heads to be yelling and cussing at me. I'm anti-chocolate.
But, you know, like I said, if you do want to find us, you can find the show site on Twitter @3endzone. Follow you is @ChiefAhab with two E's.
Yes, Cheef Ahab. Odd name, I know, but it's all right.
Hey, we're carving out our own niche here. It's our own space. And
that'll be on the video podcast next time. I understand what
right.
You're talking about.
Unluckily, the video is not working.
Right. Next time.
Yeah, wishful thinking on both parts. But at @TheImpact99 for me, if you want to email us, in case you don't want to get on Facebook or Twitter and find us, I like saying at.
Well, it's Twitter.
Right.
Page.
It's 3endzone@gmail.com. I promise you we check that at least once a year.
Yeah, at least.
At least. In fact, I probably will check it when we get out of here in a minute. But for Mr. Joe Pim, I am Jeremy York. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.